What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the DeQuisto Series podcast. I got Jacob Leishen with me tonight, and we are prepping for the road show. I apologize. We've been so busy hammering to get this thing together. We got the first show this weekend that we missed last Wednesday, so I apologize for that, that we didn't have an episode, but we're going to make up for it because in the next, man, the next couple months throughout these this road show circuit, you're going to probably see multiple podcasts a week between the live event podcast that we have with the entire speaker panel and all the attendees there, in addition to our standard Wednesday episodes. So look forward to that. A lot more content coming and really cool stuff going on the road show. So if you haven't checked that out, go to the website, www.mobilehunterroadshow.com. Check out the information on these shows that we're doing, and you can still buy tickets. I think there's only two events that are either sold out or close to being sold out, but find the show nearest you and come hang out for the day, learn some stuff, meet some new people, and it's a blast. And with that being said, we are going to talk the road show. There you have it. That is really getting jacked up. Jake, what's up?
Well, it's 12:15 in the morning here on the East Coast, so we're living the dream right now. It's the pre-roadshow grind. I've spent the entire night trying to get my truck organized so that it doesn't look like garbage for everybody who comes to the roadshow and wonders how I survive on the road. And now we're working on getting stuff taken care of so we can show up and give everybody the best time of their lives, or at least the summer.
Yeah, man. I wanted to take off tomorrow morning, and I'm ready behind like always. But
that never happens.
Yeah, yeah. only every once in a while. 99% of the time.
Late to the deer stand. Late to the road show.
Yeah. So we're kicking off the circuit. We will be in. Man, I messed this one up before, but. Allisonia, Virginia.
Yep, we'll be there Saturday.
Yep, this Saturday. Weekend. That what? Is, how far is that away from like major towns? Like, can you give anybody like a? Is it like what's the biggest town from there?
Oh man, so I guess if you're like a Virginia or West Virginia or Tennessee native or somebody kind of in that East Kentucky, Mid-Atlantic area, the location is closest to like Wythville, probably 2.5 hours from Bristol, Tennessee. There's some major metropolitan areas that aren't overwhelmingly far, but it's definitely a cool remote location to come to for the day. I think everybody's going to be pretty stoked about it.
Yeah. So if you're listening, you're in that area. We're also too from that show. The following weekend we'll be in Birmingham. Now that's a big hub sort of spot, you know, I mean, for all you Southern guys. And I think that's, what are we looking at there? What's the.
Birmingham's cool, man. I think I'm excited about that. We heard a lot of feedback coming out of last year's show about guys wanting the road show to come down to the deep South. Quote unquote. And I think this is going to satisfy a lot of that interest. I don't know much about Alabama. I'm going to be honest. I've never
been. There's a lot of hunters in Alabama though.
There are a lot of hunters in Alabama. I'm hoping that they're as excited about the mobile game as we are. But it seems to be.
I think they're jacked on it. Over the years, I've met a lot of people that just happened to be from Alabama. Like, I'd randomly meet somebody in Kansas or Illinois, and they were from Alabama. And just, you know, there's a lot of people from the South in general like that, but they, you know, kind of gravitate north when they start to raise the bar on caliber. And or at least in addition to hunting down, you know, at home, they take a trip, typically in November or whatever, up to the Midwest. And but I always had this different, you know, because I've been to Alabama a few times now, but, you know, back in the day, I always had this different view of Alabama. Like, I didn't picture big timber, you know, I picture like open, like, you know, cotton fields and stuff like that, and hedgerows, like in my mind. And then when I went there, it was big, hilly. You know, it really reminded me of northern Wisconsin. And I was like, oh man, like, you know, there's got to be good hunting here, and there's a lot of timber. So guys down there, they hit the climbers hard, but they seem to be mobile. Everybody I meet from down there is you know, been in the portable game at least, you know, maybe not went full on mobile, but they seem to be getting after it.
Well, that's the thing about hunting, and, you know, it's for all my southern guys out there, you know, we all have kind of grown up hunting the big timber. You know, I think people don't think about the Southeast as big timber land, but, you know, quite frankly, like, it's some of the most savage property you can hunt as far as big timber goes, because it's giant, it's monotonous. And because our trees are so just tall and straight, a lot of guys are hunting primarily pine forests or just big poplar and oak groves. It's the climber has been like the way, but I'm excited about introducing more people. You know, I think, you know, you can attest to what we saw last year at the North Carolina show. You know, North Carolina was transparently our lowest attendance show, but might've been our highest stoke level, of the entire roadshow experience. And, I think that as guys in the South, like myself, become more receptive to the kind of the hang and hunt idea and model, and also what we're preaching with hunting low, I think they're going to have more success. And quite frankly, there's not a climber on the market that's going to match what you're what we're preaching to carry in and out of the woods with weight, you know? So it's just going to make your whole experience more enjoyable, especially considering it's so damn hot down here for most of the season. Yeah. So there's no reason to carry 21 pounds into the woods every time you go.
Well, that leads into an interesting topic, and you know, it's so easy for me to pitch a guy to go to a hang on in sticks from a climber, because I can identify, you know, there being missed opportunities with one model, but I can always fall back onto, like, there's nothing that competes in the climber market with what we're doing as far as portability goes and weight, which is why we've set out now to do the climber, and we've been working on this for a while, and we have something that I don't know if I'll be able to do that now. You know, I can still talk about how you can miss opportunities, and, you know, you have to somewhat hunt for trees with that. But if you're a guy who's hunting this timber and who's hunted with a climber that your entire life, and you don't want to switch it up, now we will have the ultimate rig for you. You know, this is going to be sub 10 pounds, two piece, like, in be the epitome of what Lone Wolf Custom Gear is. Lightweight, ultra compact, frame pack feature, all these innovative features that you've seen come, you know, from the brand these last few years, that, you know, people are knocking off left and right, just, or making accessories to, you know, to accommodate other models like this. It's all going to be implemented in this climber. So that's exciting. And we're hoping to have that information dropping closer to fall.
I was going to say, don't get guys too excited. I don't think we're going to have a model at the roadshow.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. You know, it's something to talk about being at the roadshow. We, you know, so the later events, I will say this, like, we are really trying to get them for our July and August roadshow events. So we would, you know, that we'll keep you posted on. We'll definitely.
You're a Tennessee, or I was going to say, if you're a Tennessee or a Kentucky guy, some of those later events in the year aren't too far of a drive if you really want to come get hands on, if you know it, that climber, if you know they can make it work, you know, it might be worth the drive to come check it out.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and even, you know, aside from that climber, like, I'm excited about my little pack. I'm pretty good at not saying anything about anything until it's almost there. So we're to the point now. 2 years ago, I started messing around with the prototype and wanted to do it, but just been so busy and other stuff. And then I even started to kind of see people starting to gravitate now to the smaller packs and the under the seat style packs. So I just figured, I was like, you know what, I got to take my prototype and get something coming. So we will have the new, oh man, I'm still, you know, still trying to come up with a name for this, but it's essentially, you know, your minimalist, like ultra minimalist pack. So what it is a, like a fanny style pack. Now you can run it as a fanny pack if you want, but you don't need to. You can run it as an over the shoulder, like a slinky over the shoulder, but it's primarily designed to be used as an under the seat pack. So you can permanently mount this to the bottom of your seat casting or your seat cut, and it works. It'll work on any hang on, any model. You can permanently attach it, or if you want to run it like a fanny, which is what I do a lot of times, you can use it as a utility station when you're setting your stands. It has integrated slots for holding your cam straps. So if you're a guy who doesn't put their cam straps on their sticks, Jake, then you can use this as like as a working.
Doing it the right way.
Yeah. You can use this as a, you know, like a utility station going up the tree, a fanny pack when you're scouting, whatever. And then when you get up to the stand, you can quick detach that from your waist and then clip it right onto the seat so it has those quick hooks. And it can live there. This is a very, you know, I see a lot of guys just going on Amazon and buying single compartment, just little pouches there to have that utility. And this is the up tenfold of that.
That's what I've been running for forever, and trying to make these single part, like kind of single compartment packs. I know, you know, when I a random fanny pack, and then that evolved to like some, you know, jerry rigged, you know, like Western pack, small, extra small pouch. But I love the idea of this having like a place for everything, where you have everything goes in a specific spot and nothing is loose.
Yeah,
like that's my biggest issue, because I know every time I go to get in the stand or go to like climb the tree, I hate having to like dig for my trim saw or dig for my wind bottle or like, and then I'm worried about noise and God forbid I clink something or, you know, it just, yeah, I'm excited about it.
I hate, you know, and in designing this, which, you know, I haven't ran an actual pack for years now, just going kind of more minimalist. I did, you know, I've teetered between a bino harness and, you know, this prototype pack and then no pack and then on stand type packs, for just a few years, but not that I want to give somebody, or I want to give people the option to run something that has tech, but is tiny, and it'll allow them to get light and fast. You know, because a lot of guys, they'll hear, you know, what I'm preaching or how I'm doing things and how I'm like ditching everything, right? And I got nothing. And when you're coming from a full size backpack with a bunch of gear, it's hard to just like, oh yeah, yeah, screw this, and like throw the backpack over your shoulder and just take what you can fit in your pockets and go. This is a perfect blend. I think you will have, man, I think everybody who's running a portable or mobile setup will probably run either just this or this in addition to their setup, because why not have that little extra storage if you're going to choose to keep it on your stand and never mess with it. But the concept behind this was to go, okay, guy wants to go as minimal as he can go, and but still have usable function and features and what I like to refer to as like tech in this pack. So this thing, although tiny, it packs a big punch. It's a Swiss Army knife, right? So I'm weird like that. I love pockets. I love compartments. I love, you know, organization. It's just something, you know, in my nature. So I'll go through a couple of these. You know, there's an integrated sleeve for your trim saw. It can access from left and right. You know, if you're running this thing as a fanny pack, using it to trim or using it as you're setting your stand up, you can reach either way. It has elastic cordage at the end that keeps that in there. It's also got cinch down straps, so you can put big things in this slide compartment. in addition to your trim saw, or just run your trim saw if you want. Those cinch straps actually can allow you to tack on a little more gear to the exterior of this little unit too, because it is small. You know, there's not a whole lot of room inside, so I got ample options to tack on. So we have Molly on the side. I got adjustable drawstring cords on each 45 corner. I got cinch down straps on the bottom, and then also adjustable drawstring cinch down on the top over the zipper. What's awesome about this is if you're a guy running barely anything in this, you don't have a saggy, floppy, loose pack. You can cinch down all four corners and really streamline that pack's profile. And if you need the extra space, you can keep those loose, get it. And then also, when you're jamming your pack full, to utilize that extra space, now you can use those external strapping measures to add more things if you want. Toss your wind check bottle on the outside. Toss your J-hooks on the outside. Toss your GoPro on the outside. All these things that shouldn't be taking up the heart of your pack that, you know, you can add to the exterior. So we have pouches designed specifically for your cam straps. If you want to house those, if you want to keep extra straps, like I said, use it when hanging. You know, external mesh pockets for just additional little things that you might not want to cloud up the inside. A rear license and kind of essentials, super slim Velcro pouch, you know, spot to put your stuff that you don't want to lose, that you don't really access too often, tuck it in there. We got the integrated eyelets for retractable tow ropes or regular tow ropes. You can run them out of each side of this thing. There's a lot. If you don't want to run that fanny pack too, you can always take that belt off. It comes out. Integrated Molly on the back and bottom to tuck that strap back in, and also attach additional units. So for how small it is, man, you will not be strapped for compartments or function. And the beauty too of the quick connect feature. Now this, if you want to attach it to your stand permanently, or if you want to run it as a fanny, this works either way. So you either attach the permanent strap mounts, and what happens is the permanent and then the quick detach is all on the front face of this pouch. So that allows you to disconnect the back end and actually have the pack fold down, and you can use it as a utility station when actually sitting in the stand and operate through your legs or in between your legs, right? So instead of making that drastic movement, you know, it's all about being stealthy and stuff, and you got to reach your arm around and to your pack if it's clipped on the side or if it's onto the tree. Well, now picture this, you know, you have your stand attached to the bottom, and then you put your seat down, and then it just swings parallel because the bottom of your seat's not connected. And then you can have your zipper open, easily access rangefinder. You know, if you're a grunt guy, you got a grunt tube in there, or, you know, your camera, anything. You can set it right up in that little rig right between your legs and have minimal movement. And if you don't want that feature, you can just bungee your back. There's two adjustable bungees on the bottom corners that you reach back, and they link right to the accessory hooks. So it's pretty cool little rig. We're going to do some videos on these breakdowns, and anytime we release a new product, if you're there, obviously you get to put it through the paces, mess around with it, touch it, feel it, try it on the tree. But if you're not, we're going to start doing a little bit more information on that. So stay tuned into, you know, our stories and our posts and stuff, and look for some more details on that.
Obviously, if you want the first look on that stuff, guys, you need to come to the road shows. Like we want you guys to, you know, if you're going to show up, we want you guys to have a lot of cool new stuff to see. But I don't think that's everything. I think there's going to be some of the 14 inch new sticks to test out too, isn't there? And the 7.5.
Yeah. So the 7.5 will be there. The new 14 inch compacts that we haven't released yet will be there. All the new cuts of even the staple line items will be there.
I think the right word for the new cuts is sexy. Is that how we would define it?
they are something else. These new finishing machines that we've invested in, just I would honestly, I'd say flawless, man. I mean, they just look. We've came a long way in the last couple of years, and now, you know, we have like chamfered edges, deburring, and the anodizing is just on point. That military spec, and they're just like, man, it's like you look at them and you don't want to go toss them in a tree. So they're super nice. So you'll be able to see that new quality at the show.
Why do you think, or what can you give us some insight on why we went to the fixed buttons versus the, because I think that's one of the most recognizable changes on the new sticks is there's no like third piece button, you know, it's a fixed.
Yep. So the two biggest features you'll notice right off the bat is the button inside is just molded right to, or it's cut right into the design of the stick itself, along with our patent-pended climbing hook. So just like you see on the fix, it's designed to hook right into your waist belt or any molly you might have on your harness or whatnot as you're ascending the tree. We have implemented that exact same feature and function into the climbing sticks as well. So now you can loop those right, or hooks, slide those right into your belt. And so, but the reason for this and for the button to answer the question is, you know, really just to minimize those parts. It's always been about making things simple and easy, and that's where you get efficiency and no noise and all that stuff. It's like, you know, from minimizing components minimizes opportunity for things to go wrong, really. You know, you end up with a stronger, lighter, simpler design. You know, the greatest designs are the simplest. So getting rid of that button really streamlines the entire operation. And you know, the one thing when we started trickling this out was, or that the response we heard back from, you know, some users or customers was like, oh, okay, well, you know, I love the idea, but like the edges are just, they're a little sharper. It's easier to put the belt on the button, or, you know, worried about maybe like some rubbing of the edge of the metal on instead of a round bolt. And that's where I think these new machines come into play too. And like these buttons are so smooth and they're so oblong that really they take the loop of the strap super, super well. So that's why we went to that.
So now there's four options of sticks on the compacts, and then three options on the doubles, right? So you got 14, 17s, 20s, and full lengths on the compacts, and 14, 17s, and 20s on the doubles.
Yep. They're both. So now, yeah, you can get them in any length you want.
So the question left to be answered is, considering we know that you like to flip-flop sticks last year when you were so adamant about running the compacts, are you going 14s with 27 inch 8ers this year, or are you are we seeing another year of Cody running doubles,
man? I don't know. And we'll dive into this. You know, we get into all the personal speaker setups at the shows, and it's cool because it's always a big debate on like who's running the singles, who's running the doubles, who's running buckleless, who's doing buckle. And it just, you see different guys, they get into different grooves and everything works, you know, but everybody's got their own, you know, way of it. But I don't know, man, I don't know where I'm going to be at with the sticks this year. I tried the 20s, man, right off the bat this year when we were in North Dakota, I tried the 20s and I mean, they were nice. I think if I was your height, it probably would have been a little nicer, but they were just a little too long for me. Not that I mind a long stride, but, you know, if I'm setting something, if I'm chilling in the tree with my feet staggered, that's a big stride for, you know, my height to sit, you know, and just kind of be sitting there. So the 17 seems perfect for me. and then, you know, the doubles. I've contemplated the 14s. You know, like you said, I might put a little longer eighter on there. But they're sweet, man. They're super low profile, super compact. They go on the back of these saddle stands like butter, and they just look so small, you know.
They look about as, I mean, if you're a run and gun guy and you're really, you know, whether you're just embodying kind of, I think, the hunt low game, or if you're just trying to make your setup as small and as efficient as possible, I mean, not only do they not weigh anything, but they just are so compact and they fit with the system so well. I don't think there's anything that you can even compare it to, especially with if you couple the aiders with it.
Yeah,
it's dangerous yeah, that, setup.
Yeah, those are the 14s. I think will be more popular than I maybe originally thought, just for, like you said, minimizing profile and weight even more. And, you know, if you're a guy who doesn't mind making up a little of that stride, like, because in the grand scheme of things, when you even look at distance, like, 17 to 20, I don't know really what you're, it's inches when you think about it. Like, you know,
it's really just more of a comfort thing.
Yeah.
Like that, like if you're, like, I was almost referenced that earlier. Like, I really don't think, because, I mean, last year I almost went to the 20s. But, you know, when we were in North Dakota and we were talking about it, you know, referencing back to that, you know, I didn't feel like for carrying two sticks, going from a 17 to a 20 and adding those extra few ounces of weight, you're talking about adding six extra inches. I would rather just make my stride a little longer, you know,
yeah,
if I really need to get that much higher. You know, and I think guys are going to like that about the 14s too, you know, and with the saddle stands, how you can stack them side by side, you can stack them all on top of one another. Some guys, you know, just strap them to their pack. You can carry three sticks, like, really efficiently, you know, and three sticks with 20-inch aiders could be a move with 14s, you know. You just make up a little of your ground with some stride and all today.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the only thing I would, in 14s wouldn't be on your radar if you were this type of guy, but, you know, a lot of guys like to be prepared to get high if they need to, and some people will not get away from running the four sticks. So, you know, and
have, or somebody running eight 14s.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm getting at. I mean, you'll get people that just need to get to a certain height, or like they know an area that they're hunting, and they just, to beat thermals, they're always hunting 20. You know, that's where I think if you were a 20 guy jumping down to 14, you'd probably notice a difference of, like, the height you're getting. But if it's, like, 14 to 17 or 17 to 20 and you're not, you know, dropping the whole way, I think it'd probably be different. But
if you're a guy like that, you can just join the club with me and buy the full length,
there,
and
you
then
go.
take the middle step out and throw a 20-inch aider on it. And you're just walking into the woods, ready to reach the moon.
I love that. See, and that's where I think, I'd also like to say, the model stand you're running, so the 0.5 is perfectly designed in every way for the 17. And it comes up and it does not protrude the edge of the platform. It's like super compact and low profiles way inside your shoulders, you know, inside that small framed stand. Stepping up to the 20s, the 20s fit like a dream on the 7.5 and the 1.0. Like, the, you know, the 17s are a little low, but to, whereas when you're going to a 20 on the 0.5, you do notice it starts to come out a little more, you know, as far as the profile goes, and that turns some people off a little bit.
On that note, do the 14s mount the same way to the stands as the 17s and 20s, or is there, what is the, you know, can you give us a hint on the mounting process, or what that's going to look like,
yeah,
what we can expect it to look like?
It's the same, yep, the exact same way. There's an additional grommet hole that was thrown in so that it accepts the 14s, because, you know, the stride is from grommet to grommet is reduced, but they still plug in and integrate the same exact way. And I've actually been working with some things too, to where you can run the compacts off the back center versus having to split the beam if you were, you know, if you wanted to. So we'll go through some shit like that too at the show, and some of my preferences that I've been doing with that.
Yeah, when if you guys didn't know, Cody and I can get into some gear talk pretty deep here. So first and foremost, come to the road show. I think we got a lot of stuff to go over. I love conversations like this, and I think you guys will notice it when you come to the shows, whether that's in Alabama or, you know, in Iowa. Everybody's talking about their own unique way. Like Cody and I both run sets totally differently, and it just makes sense to me that, you know, everybody has their own unique style, and efficiency means something different to everybody. Obviously, I think there's a minimalist aspect that is unique, but, you know, at the same time, you know, there's different guys. I think we saw, it's always interesting seeing the differences between some of the saddle guys and the tree stand guys, and, you know, how everybody is efficient in their own way. So, Cody, I think you mentioned it last year at one of the shows. It's like the point of the show is for you to be able to take a little bit from each and every guy and develop your own system based on what works for you. So, yeah. You know, when you guys are coming to the shows, be thinking about that. You know, you're not there to replicate one person specifically, but just look at what works. You know, everybody's going to bring a little something different to the game.
And that's what's nice about having different people from different kind of areas they're hunting or ways they're doing it, because, you know, you can take your particular situation and then, you know, kind of apply it to whichever speaker resonates the best with that scenario.
So on that, let's transition to talking about some of the speakers. I think we got a killer lineup of guys coming to these shows. I think that's saying the least.
Yeah,
some from last year and some new for sure.
Oh, there's tons of new. Yeah, I think now we have over 30. We got there's. I'll go head to head. There is not a group of guys who is more effective in the whitetail woods and just successful and like driven than these dudes. And like these guys, the speakers at the road shows, you know, we got old timers, we got guys who are new to the game, we got, you know, I mean, a wide array of ages, you know, areas of the country, but everybody's hammering the mobile scene hard, and they all got their own unique ways of doing that, and they're all consistently successful. So I think it's important, you know, that we talk about that, because, you know, in today's day and age, anybody can, you know, be on Instagram and look cool, but when you really look at their success, and so many guys get just paid to push brands and, you know, talk a big game or quote unquote design products, and you know you never really see anything from that. Like, okay, well, is this guy successful? Like, what, you know? And there's one thing, there's one common denominator with all these guys. It's throughout the years they've found their way to like the product that worked for them that enabled them to be successful and consistently successful, and it just so happens that, you know, they ended up like in the Lone Wolf family, you know, whether that was dad's old original designs or, you know, they got on with you know, Lone Wolf Portable, or it's custom gear, or, you know, they connected with me through XOP, and all these, you know, we've been kind of leading the charge on the mobile game for the last 40 years. So it's really cool to see that collection of people, old and new, and just seeing. Well,
and I think we talked about it last year a fair bit too. Like, when you come to the show, one of the things that I like is, I mean, Cody, you hear it more than I do. Like, I think that people, we, everybody, there's always a group of guys that loves to hate on whatever is successful. It could be anything. It could be your efficiency, your running light and hunting low or whatever. And they like to come to the show or come to wherever and say, oh, this doesn't work here. This doesn't work where I'm at. Or this isn't going to work here. It's like, well, we got speakers to fill that gap. So, there's no excuse anymore because you're going to come to a show. Not only are the shows widespread, we've got everything from Alabama to Iowa, and Pennsylvania and Ohio. I mean, you name it, we've got places all around the country that we're going to be going to. But at the same time, we got speakers that are getting it done everywhere, like literally everywhere. There's no reason you shouldn't be able to come to the show and pick up things that work in your neck of the woods, like genuinely.
And I'm super stoked at about how the show's evolved too. I'd like to take a second and just give a shout out to all the awesome brands, the Roadshow brands that are partners and involved with the show: Vortex Optics, Onyx Mapping Systems, Hoyt Archery, of course, Lone Wolf Custom Gear, Extreme Outdoor Products, Womo Outdoors.
We got
Shit.
Lacrosse is donating some boots each. We got a pair of boots each show coming straight from Lacrosse footwear. Outdoor Vision is donating vinyl harnesses and rangefinder pouches. Each show, we've also got like some local sponsors and local people involved that are local businesses or organizations that are places you guys might go to. And there's tons of other perks, man. I mean, we got, I don't know. I mean, it's, I mean, I was just talking with everybody's favorite mustache Sasquatch, Zach Robb, about the total amount. I bet we're gonna give away close to $4,000 worth of stuff, like 3 or 4,000. I mean, there's tons of stuff, guys. Like, if you're, I don't know if there's better odds for you, like, consider most of these shows are, anywhere between 75 and 150 people. I don't know if there's better odds for you to win a new Hoyt bow by going to a show.
And we're giving away Jake's truck.
It's got a brand new deck system installed. So I'll make sure to finish that and make it look really nice for you.
We got some cool stuff. Some of the new products from Vortex. They got a couple new range finders launching this year. I'm all getting scrambled.
That's what happens when it's so late at night. See, you guys, this is what you understand. We're out here. We're out here right now. It's 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Cody's bedtime is usually 10. So he's doing this for you.
Yeah, so I'm past that.
I was gonna say something to call out. We like our challenges this year are gonna be bigger and better. I know last year, we got some fan favorites coming back. The Roadshow Relay will be at every show. The archery challenges are gonna be bigger and better. The prizes that we're giving away are bigger and better. We want to make it fun. Not just fun where you're learning a lot and you're getting exclusives on gear and getting to see the new product, but you guys are dedicating your time to come out, spend time with us, listen to what we have to say, talk to the speakers, and kind of really further this mobile hunting community. So we want to give back to you guys. So expect it to be a kick-ass time. I think it's going to set the standard for shows, man. I really do.
I think it already has, man. I think the tide is turning on your standard expo, and I seen that coming, years ago. Like, people want more of the how-to. They want to connect more, not just, kind of walk through a crowded building and snag a stand and then go home and spend hours on YouTube or hours practicing. Like, this is an opportunity for guys to come, not only see the gear, purchase the gear if they want, but learn from guys who are successful with the gear and learn tips, learn tactics, new techniques, and it's just an all around cool environment. So, yeah, I encourage everybody to swing through and see what we got going on. Jake, anything you want to add about the show? Is anything we didn't cover that we wanted to talk about?
Oh, bring a chair. Yeah, I would say come to the show ready to ask questions. Ready to ask questions, like, you know, and you know, build relationships with people in your area too. You know, that's something that I think is undersung about the road shows is, you know, when I moved to North Carolina going on 5, 6 years ago, I didn't know anybody here. Didn't know how to hunt the area. Didn't know anybody here. Didn't have an idea of where to go. I think one of the kind of like, undersung values of the roadshow is just the opportunity to connect with other guys that you hunt around. Most everybody's driving from within 3 hours. So, man, you got a lot of like-minded people coming that are going to be, could be, you know, your next A team, your next, you know, buddy on the text chain when you shoot a big deer, you know, any and all that stuff.
For sure, man. We're all in this. We all got the same passion.
Outside of that, I think I'm just going to finish this beer and go to bed before it officially hits 1 a.m. Yeah. So,
yeah, well, I hit the road tomorrow. I will be meeting Jake in Virginia, and we hope to see all you guys down there. And if not,
yep,
over in Alabama.
See you guys soon.